2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came. They didn't know who he was. Sad thing is, today, many people still don't know him. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Give you time to turn there. Starting with verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again today for your blessings. God, you are so good to us. You're an awesome God, and we serve an awesome God. Lord, I thank you today for the presence of your Holy Spirit right here in this sanctuary. Lord, I pray today that we'll just give you all the praise and all the glory for the time of Christmas season, the time of joy in our lives, and we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. If I were to ask you today, what's the most joyful time of your life or of the year, most of you would say Christmas is one of the greatest times of the year. Now, I want you to think about the song, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." We watch our Christmas carols on TV. We know them, the stories about Christmas, almost by heart. In 1719, Isaac Watts wrote the song "Joy to the World." How many of you have heard that song? All right, most every one of you. It's interesting thing about the song is the only stanza that is related to Christmas and the birth of Jesus Christ is the first one that announces the birth of our Lord. And it says, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." Now, there's no mention of Mary, Joseph, the shepherds that the Bible talks about. No mention of the manger or the wise men. The only thing about the Lord that is mentioned is joy to the world. The Lord is come. Isn't that interesting? Watts was right when he entitled the carol "Joy to the World." Christmas is not simply a joy to Christians or joy to America or joy to the Caucasian race or joy to the West or joy to the East or joy to the educated or joy to the uneducated, joy to the rich or joy to poor. He says, the Bible talks about Jesus is joy to all of us, the whole world. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. The angel said in the Word of God, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." The world, good tidings is to evangelize the whole world. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians. This microphone wants to keep coming off. It's a new microphone, but it's simply disturbing me. Nowhere in all the Bible, anywhere in the Bible, you will find the words, these words together: Savior, Christ, and the Lord. Nowhere will you find all of those together in one verse except right here. in this passage of Scripture in verse 11. Unto you born in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It's the only time in Scripture where all of these words come together. And these words, along with the word babe in verse 12, reveal to us why Christmas is such a time of joy. You see, first I want you to understand that Christmas is the joy of the birth of a son. Now, in most cases, births are not big news, only to the immediate family. You know, when a child is born, you don't see all the news media come out or anything like that and take pictures of everything. That's a common everyday experience, isn't it? When someone says that my child was born, we name, usually just name a day, and there's not a whole lot of gathering around a child, and not near as much as a death in the family. Just immediate family usually goes there. Most people are concerned more with, right now, the physical cliff, financial cliff, than more people are wondering about the Dow Jones, whether it's going to go up or down. More people are worried about war in the other eastern countries. Or right now, more people are worried about taxes than they are about a birth. Births are not really all that thing, but 2,000 years ago, when a babe was born, never would it we had have thought that it would literally shape the world or the destiny of the world. And the Bible says, and this is a sign unto you, you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, what's wrong with that picture? You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Remember, swaddling clothes were burial clothes, really. You'll find a babe. Remember, this was God's son. He wasn't an ordinary son. He was God's son. And I want you to notice that the shepherds were told what to look for. Not a king on a throne. A babe in a manger. Not an angels on a cloud, but a babe in a manger. Don't go to the palace, shepherds. Go to a stall. Go to a mansion, but a place where cattle are born, a stable. You would think a babe of this importance would be surrounded by servants, but there were no one. He was surrounded more by sheep and the animals and the cows that were there. You would think it'd be a beautiful bed that he was lying on, but he was actually in a box, an animal box, where they would actually feed the animals. You would think he'd be in a palace of a king, but just a stable for a cow. A person that was born of royalty was put on robes and things, but no comforters for our Lord and Savior. Just burial clothes. Amazingly, this babe, this son, was a real baby. I can imagine as he watched his little fingers. You know, babes often look at their fingers, don't they? They look at their toes. They play with their toes. He didn't understand words. He had to learn just like any other baby. He had to be changed. He had to have a bed made for him. But yet, he was God in the flesh. And the God of all creator had to learn how to walk, just like you and I. The God of all creation had to learn how to talk, just like you and I. The God of all creation learned how to learn to feed himself, just like you and I did. And where others saw just simply a baby, the song's right. We didn't know who he was. Mary saw God. She saw his son. And there's a reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh. The Bible says he came because he had to be one of us, that we might not only know that he can raise us up from the dead, but we also know that he went through the same physical things that we went through in life. You see, he had to come as one of us. If you wanted to, an old illustration talks about, if you wanted to talk to an ant, you'd have to become an ant. Or if you wanted to talk to a grasshopper, you'd have to be a grasshopper. Well, if you wanted to communicate with a human, he had to become a human. God in the flesh. That's why we say God Emmanuel. Joy came in that precious little bundle of God in the flesh. And one of us, like us, that he might change us to be like him. You see? The Bible says all of us need a change in our life. The Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of that sin is death, eternal separation from God. And we'll be in a place called hell, the Bible says. No one likes to talk about hell today, but that's where we'll go if we don't know Jesus Christ. But the joy of Christmas is, in this babe born in Bethlehem, this babe came as one of us, that he might live a sinless life, that he might go to the cross, that he might die upon the cross, that we might live and have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the joy to the world because of a birth of a son. Not only is there blessings for the birth of a son, there is Christmas joy in the blessings, the Bible says, of a Savior. Look what the Bible says. The angels told the shepherds they were not to be afraid. Not to be afraid of something like this, for behold, they bring to you great tidings of great joy. Why was this so good news? Well, he says simply, there was a babe born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior. So we see the blessings of not only of a son, but we also see the blessings of a Savior here. In the Old Testament, a Savior describes a deliverer for one of the enemies. There had to be a deliverer. Well, in the Old Testament, the Messiah is never called Savior. The word refers always to God who delivers his people from defeat. It's God who delivers his people from disease in the Old Testament. It is God who delivers his people from death. And in fact, the Word of God makes it plain that the title Savior belongs to God and God alone. The Bible says in Isaiah 43:11, God himself said, I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me, there is no other Savior. People will never understand Christmas. We'll never understand the meaning of Christmas, nor the real joy of Christmas, until we realize Christmas is about Jesus. It is about the coming of a Savior. And the title Savior, the noun salvation, and the verb to save are only found in the books of the New Testament. We have the New Testament. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. He came in the New Testament part, and it means that salvation, we are safe and secure. That word Savior means we are safe and secure in Christ Jesus this morning. Folks, I don't know about you, but the joy of Christmas is found in that babe in a manger. The joy of Christmas and the blessings is found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in our Christian life, our greatest need is forgiveness. And God offers you and I forgiveness today. No matter what you've done in life, people always say, preacher, you just don't know what I've done. Well, yes, I do. You have sinned, and that's all I need to know. The Bible says all have sinned. Folks, we are sinners by a choice. We chose to sin in Adam. We choose to sin, but we can be saved by choosing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the greatest need is a Savior, and he was both human in Christ, and he's also God, divine God. Now that just blows our minds many times, and people wonder, how can that be? Well, he's God. You know, he must be divine, so he won't die in his own sin, or else he cannot save us from our sins, and he could not be our Savior. Jesus was both God and man, man that he could die for sin, and God that he would not die in his sin. You understand that? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him," Jesus Christ, "who knew no sin," that means he was sinless, "to be sin for us, to be our sacrifice, that we might become righteous in God." Folks, God, who knew no sin, became our sacrifice. He died on the cross that we might not have to die. That when his Father, or when he looked down upon us, he would look through the blood of Jesus Christ and realize and count that righteousness to us as righteous. You see, the blood of Jesus, I love that song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood guarantees the removal of sin in our life. And I don't know about you folks, but I've got enough sin to last a lifetime in my life. And I'm so thankful the Bible says the blood of Jesus washes us white as snow, and God removes it from his thought, and he's never going to look at it again. And the Bible says every time I sin, if we confess our sin, that simply means that we agree with God. If we'll get out on our knees and say, "God, you know, I messed up. I have sinned against you, and only you have I sinned." The Bible says that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of our own unrighteousness. Folks, that's what Christmas is. That's the blessings of God, the blessings of a Savior, that we can be forgiven. Christmas is not only the birth of a son. Christmas is not only today the blessings of a Savior. Christmas is joy because of the beauty of a sovereign God. Think about it, the beauty of a sovereign God. A babe lying in a manger was not just a Savior. He was our Lord. Our Lord. Folks, that word Lord is used over 9,000 times in the Old Testament. 6,000 times it's used as Jehovah, Yahweh, God. That's incredible news, folks. Jesus was not just a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes or sent as Christ, as Messiah to the Jews. He was Jesus, the Savior of the world, because of his uniqueness, because of his godliness, because of his creation of the universe. I love people that want to prove there is no God all the time. All you have to do is look around at the universe. I like to watch these crazy people on National Geographic trying to tell us we come from a Big Bang and a burst and all this, and animals, and we all came out of the ocean and we began to walk on water and we gave up our gills and some of us swing by the trees with on our tail and all this kind of stuff. And over the years, we didn't need that tail to swing from trees anymore. We got cars to ride around in. So really, we're just a bunch of monkeys that drive in cars. I don't know how they get all of that. It's a whole lot easier for me to believe that in the beginning, God created a man than to come through all of that discussion. But yet you have educated people, or supposed to be educated people, that talk about all of this, but they don't understand that Jesus Christ is simply God in the flesh. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That's incredible news. That's awesome news in our life. And what breaks my heart today at Christmas, the world tries to convince both our children, man, that was good what they sing, "Happy Birthday, Jesus," and the adults, that the celebration about Christmas is about Santa Claus. Now, with all due respect to Santa Claus, If that is the best that we can come up with, man, we might as well forget about Christmas. They tell me I'm beginning to look like a fat old guy myself. Well, if I grew a beard, it would be white. Kind of like Brother Teddy's over there. But you know, really, is that all we celebrate? To the world, that's about it. But you know, Christmas is all about Jesus Christ. Listen, Santa Claus lives at the North Pole for you kids. Jesus is everywhere. He's everywhere. Santa rides a sleigh. Jesus, he can walk on water. He's a whole lot better, isn't he? Santa Claus comes once a year. Jesus, he's ever present. You know, I was riding down the highway the other day praying, and I know he was right there beside me. He was listening to me. He was ever present. When I got through praying, he sent an old car by, and it had on there, "God is able" on the back. And I said, "Thank you, Lord. I know you're able. You just there to remind me everywhere." Santa Claus fills our stockings, but Jesus Christ supplies every need that we have in life. Isn't that wonderful news? Santa makes you laugh. Jesus gives you everlasting joy, the Bible says. Santa puts gifts under your tree. Jesus became our gift on that tree. You see, Christmas is not about Santa. It's about a Savior. It's not about gifts that we give. It's about God's grace that's given to all people. Jesus Christ is a Savior that we can respond to Him and talk to Him and love Him. And He walks with us and talks with us, even though the Bible says we are sinners. God wants to have a relationship with us this morning. If you're here and you don't have that relationship, that's what it's all about. God says, "I want to have a fellowship with you," you see. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says He's there to listen to us, and all we have to do is respond by faith. I love that scripture, my favorite passage of scripture, Hebrews 11:1. For by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the Bible says, the elders attained a good report. And I thought about that scripture. Faith is substance. Substance. What's substance? Substance is something that you have. And I thought, man, you know what? When we put our faith in Jesus, we have Jesus Christ. He's there. Jesus wants to take control of our lives. He wants to guide us all the way to heaven's gates, folks. Isn't that wonderful news? He's the only one I know that I would really want to surrender my life to, because He loves me so much that He died on the cross for me. Father Warren wanted his family to understand Christmas. And for that Christmas, he wanted his family to have the best Christmas ever. So he went out and he bought presents for all his kids. He bought them the expensive things that they wanted. And he had a nice dinner on Christmas Day, and they all sat down, and he said, "Kids," he said, "I want this year to be special. This is going to be the greatest Christmas ever." And a little boy raised his hand, one of his sons, and said, "Daddy, it can't happen. The greatest Christmas ever was when Jesus Christ came. This will have to be the second best." You know what? The best news about Christmas is not that Santa Claus is coming to town. The best news about Jesus Christ is joy to the world. The Lord has come. If you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, you don't have the joy of Christmas in your heart, would you come this morning? That's simple. Jesus Christ really is the reason for the season. You'll find blessings in the joy of Christmas, in the babe, the son, in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. You'll have blessings of Christmas because of the Savior who was born. And you'll have blessings of Christmas because of the eternity that you'll spend with a sovereign God. You see, He is Lord, folks. He has been and always will be. He's in control of every situation. Nothing's out of control. Whatever He does, it's perfect. He wants you to come to know Him in your life. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what troubles you have, but Jesus is the answer for those troubles. If you'll just come to Him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you've already trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's great. That's good news. Celebrate it in the right way. Just surrender your life to Jesus and say, "Here I am, Lord. I know I'm saved, but from this day forward, I want to put You in everything." Folks, we need to commit our lives to Christ. I know some of us, we have weak commitments. To some people, Christmas is a time you come to church once a year. But it's not. Christmas is every day in my life because it's the Savior is born. The Lord has come. Some of you are here this morning, you're looking for a church home. You don't have a church home. You've been out of church a long time and you don't know where your church is even. I've had a lot of people come and say, "Preacher, it's been so long since I've been in church, I don't even know where my letter's at. I don't know where I was saved at." Folks, if you need a church home, would you come and be a part of this church? Not just so you could have your name on a roll. If that's all you're coming for, just stay seated. You come that you might have a fellowship with the believers here, that you might attend the church, that you might grow in your faithfulness to God and your commitment to God. That's why you have a membership of church, that you might gain strength in your Christian walk. Would you come if that's what you need to grow? You come to need to recommit your life, or you come to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the joy of Christmas. I thank You this morning for the Son, Jesus Christ, who came to die that we might have life. And Lord, that we have a God who loves us, who cares for us, who's sovereign in everything. Lord, I thank You this morning for these that are here this morning. Lord, if there's someone who needs to make a decision for You, let them come at this time. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.